Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show broadcasting live from the ATL. Oh, what happened there? Oh, okay. Oh, the band was still playing. All right. So starting out, I had a feeling something wasn't going to be right. And you know what? I hate being right. Because my laptop, the one that I always use for the show, was kind of acting a little funky just a few minutes ago. It was moving a little slow, and I was like, okay, maybe it'll be all right. So I said, well, I don't have time to, you know, do these little things you got to do, you know, get the speed up or whatever to make sure all the bugs are out. I didn't have enough time to do that. So fortunately, I was able to pull up the board, getting ready to start the show, and I'm looking at the board. I guess you guys heard the theme song. And now my laptop just went blank. So I'm guessing you guys can hear me if you called in. So let me see if I'm going to try to pull it back up and see what happens. I think people on the internet can hear me. I don't think the people that are calling in can hear me as of yet. So let me see if I can. Maybe they can. But let me see what happens here. Hate being right in the wrong situation. So bear with me just a moment. I know I'm going to get a few text messages in a moment. But I don't even know if I'm on air yet. I'm not really sure if I'm on air. So Blog Talk did say I was on. Let me, I'm going to text Janet Davis real quick and see if she sees or she can hear me. Let me see here. So I truly apologize. We do have a guest coming on momentarily. Luke Brodsky is going to be joining us. He's been a guest on the show before. So let me drop back here and make sure I have a good connection. Okay, it shows I do. Well, I tell you, technology, it could be your friend and it could be your enemy. Okay, Janet says she can hear me. Okay, great, Janet. Fantastic. I just can't see the board. I'm trying to reboot the laptop back up. So, and it's taking its own sweet time. And the crazy thing, I have a desktop. I have two laptops. This is the one I have everything on. And, of course, I have a tablet, and I have really two phones. Well, one phone belongs to the company I work for. I just can't understand why this is happening. So I tell you what, as the board is trying to refresh, or as I'm trying to get back into the laptop, I might have to switch to the other one. Janet, if you can hear me, do me a favor. Call me on my phone line, and I'll just link you through my phone line. I think I can do that. And at least I'll have you on the board or on the phone with me. Yeah, we'll just go ahead and do that for right now while this thing is taking its own sweet time. Wow. Well, anyway, happy Saturday, everyone, seeing that I can be heard. And thank you for joining the TMGF. And as usual, I have to say the usual. The time is now 6:05 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:05 p.m. on the West Coast. And today is the 8/27/2022, and you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Bay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And yes, I'm your host, Michael Gay. We have a special guest joining us. Hopefully the board is going to act right and we can get him on. And this gentleman has been a guest on the show, oh, wow, a while back. Let me see. Okay, I got another text. Okay, they said they're out and about, but the sound is going in and out. So let me see if I can figure out what's going on with that. But, okay, Michelle, yeah, okay, I saw your text. Yeah, I'm having a little issue here with the board, so I'm trying to get it back up. Let me see if I can get the board back up. But, all right, so Luca Brasi is our guest. And, wow, we had him as a guest. Ooh, what was it? It's been a couple of years. In fact, I think I was still connected with the J. King Network at that time. And this brother here, he's a hip-hop artist. He's an actor and now an author, just all-around entrepreneur. And I love talking with him because he has so much to share with us today. I see Janet is calling, so let me see if I can get Janet in here. Hold on just a moment. And I'm going to merge. And merge.
Tell me to call.
Hey.
Yeah. So should I hang up on Blog Talk?
Well, hold on just a minute. Let me see, because I'm seeing now. I think I'm still merged with it. Yeah. Stay with Blog Talk. And let me just make sure I go back onto the show. I think I cut myself off up there. But, yeah, let me – no, stay on Blog Talk. The board is about to come back up.
All right.
Bye. Okay. Let's see what happens here. All right. Okay, so the board is back up. And let me open up Janet's mic.
Okay.
And voila. We're here.
Yeah, now I need to hang up from your phone.
Okay. I just opened up your mic on the board. Okay, you guys. So, you know, this is what happens sometimes. And I'm not going to blame Blog Talk this time. That it has something to do with my this particular laptop. And so, and this is the older one I've had for a while. It has a lot of the information that I use for the show. And I got a new one. I need to really start switching everything over to that. All right, so again, as I was saying, our guest today is going to be Luca Brasi. He's going to be joining us in about 6 minutes, by the way. I asked him to chime in at about 6:15, okay? So, but anyway, how are you doing today, Janet? Happy Saturday.
I'm doing fine. I got to try and hang up from your home phone.
I'm gonna hang up and call you back.
Sure. All right.
No problem. Go right ahead. Okay. And let's see. Oh, and Shona. Yeah, I saw where you left the message. Let me know if it's clear now. If you can hear it better. Now the board's back up. All right. So. Also today, we're going to talk about a few things in politics. We're going to talk about that. Of course, you know, we touched bases on what's happening on these investigations of of the Teflon Don. But, you know, is the Teflon starting to wear off? I mean, you know, he's had so many layers, and some of that layering, is that the right way to say it? Yeah. Well, many of those layers are starting to wear off. And are they going to get to the actual Don? You know, can he actually be found guilty or not guilty, but can he be indicted for different things? They're throwing out words like espionage. And they're throwing out words like obstruction of justice. Now, I think they might get the obstruction of justice part. They might get that possibility, you know. But also we want to talk about the student loan pardon. And I found this really interesting because there's some Republicans who are jumping up and down about it, and the White House was like, oh, hold on, put on the brakes. Didn't you all get student loans? I mean, not student loans, but didn't you get PPP loans? You know, didn't they get PPP loans, you know, during the pandemic? You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Getz, and all of them, they got loans and never paid them back. And you know, don't forget, their paychecks come from your tax dollars. So how can they jump up and down about student loans? There's so much going on. There's so many things going on here. People are upset about the money that are being given to Ukraine for the war and, you know, and this and the other. Well, okay, Ukraine is not, and I know they are not part of NATO and this and the other. But, you know, any kind of hostile takeover of a country is wrong, in my opinion, you know. So, but right. When we talk about doing the right thing for people here at home, people want to jump up and down. People want to get mad. I've seen a lot of posts where people are saying, well, I went to college and I have to pay all my money and I have to pay my loans back. It's not fair. Okay. Well, is it fair that these companies are getting great tax breaks and everything and getting massive profits? Is that fair? Mm-hmm.
And unforgiven loans.
I mean, you
loans.
Go to the gas station. Yeah, you know
I mean?
What I mean,
forgiven loans.
Well, yeah, so we're going to get into all that later because our guest is going to be joining us in a moment. But I want to hear what you guys' point of view is. Now, Time and Ship out in California. Actor, author, comedian, Time. He's not going to be able to join us today because he has an event he has to attend today. So he gave me the heads up earlier this week. So I guess it's just going to be you and me, Janet, and maybe off the bench all my time. You know, but I was listening to, and I don't know if you guys know who he is, Tim Black. He's on Blog Talk and, he broadcast, and I was listening to him last night, and I chimed into his show, and I threw that out there, that whole thing about, you know, how can a person like Marjorie Taylor Greene have the nerve to say something about it's not fair? You know, I was like, wow, of all people, she should have just kept her mouth shut.
Yeah,
you know,
because Biden called them out. You know, she had over $186,000,
$183,000.
That's a lot.
I believe if I have the numbers right, it was $183,507 is what
that's
I believe
right.
I read. You know, so, I mean, but think about it. She had a construction company, and here, you know, she got that money. She didn't offer to pay it back. She didn't have to. She was, you know, allowed to. She was forgiven on that, right? And now,
right.
You know what she is now. Who's paying her? Tax dollars pay her. So, I mean, she's getting paid by the American people all the way around. The money that she's getting is from the American people. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's all from the American people. And how can you I don't know. It's crazy. All right, I see our guest is here. And like I said, I like to keep things on time as much as possible, but thank goodness we were able to get this issue, at least right now, taken care of. So without further ado, you guys, I want to open up the mic and welcome to the show. This gentleman, like I said, has been a guest on the show before, and we appreciate him returning with us. What I'm trying to do, Janet, you know what I'm trying to do. Don't spill the beans, but you know what I'm trying to do, right? Nope. Janet dropped. Okay, I guess she'll be popping back up in a moment. But hold on just a second here. All right, so the board is still acting kind of crazy, you guys, so please bear with me. Oh, man. Why did this happen today? I have no clue. And like I said, I see that our guest is here, so look and hold tight just a minute while I try to fix a couple of issues here. I think I might have it under control momentarily. All right, that looks better. All right, here we go. All right, so you guys, again, without further ado, and as I said, this gentleman has been on the show. It's been a little while ago, but we're happy to have him back. Please welcome to TMGS, Mr. Luca.
Thanks, Addy. Thank you, Addy. Appreciate it.
Okay, there we go. All right.
What's up, Luca?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Luca Brasi here. Oh. Michael Gay, thank you so much, brother, for having me, man.
Oh, man, thank you for coming back, man. Wow, let's see. It's been a minute since you've been on the show. Well, a couple of years almost? Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you coming back because what got my attention is that, you know, of course, with your music and everything, the first time you were on, and again, I have to say thanks to Valerie Denise Jones for introducing us the first time around. But now I understand that you have you not only do music, but you have a new book out, an author, and you got to check out the book. I mean, how did that come about? But before you share all that information, and Janet is back with us, before you share that information, just give our audience a little background of who Luca Brasi is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's the American Dream, Luca Brasi. And I've been involved in entertainment and fitness both since about the age of 13. And they kind of both have gone hand in hand with each other the entire time. So, you know, I'm also by day, I'm a certified personal training specialist through National Academy of Sports Medicine. So I do a lot of training and things like that. I also, obviously, I do hip-hop music and all that good stuff. But I started actually in professional wrestling when I was about 13 years old. And I did that until I was about 18. And then when I got out of the business, what really happened was it kind of ended prematurely for me. And music just to kind of express what I was really feeling at the time and everything. And so from there, I ended up meeting my producer, and then things kind of went. And then I got started getting involved with some acting, things like that. I got signed to a modeling agency for a couple of years out of Syracuse, New York. And, yeah, I've been doing just as much in entertainment as I possibly can, man. So that's in a nutshell, that's your boy Luca Brasi right there.
All right. I see Janet Davis is back. Janet, how you doing? Say hello to Luca.
Hey, Lucas. I'm just amazed at how many hats you wear. You know, I'm just amazed at how multitasked you are to do all the things that you do. I couldn't even put them all on our flyer. It was so many. You know, so I'm just happy to have you here tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. And I appreciate y'all having me too as well. Like I said, thank you so much.
Okay, so the book, man, I mean, which I haven't read. I have to be honest, I haven't read, well, because I just found out about it not too long ago, and I'd love to get a copy of it and check it out. But the title alone is really interesting, which I found, you know, what I looked at and loved the cover, you know. Look like you had deep thought and it's very interesting. But the title, 20 Reasons and 20 Ways to dismiss self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that dismiss or distinguish? Dismiss self-doubt.
Diminish.
I'm sorry. See, I'm not, okay, I have to enlarge it a little bit. Diminish. Okay, so let me say that right. I apologize, everybody. 20 reasons and 20 ways to diminish self-doubt. Before I ask you, what did you mean by that? Tell us what the book is about, though.
Sure. Yeah, the book
Which
really...
I know that's what it's about. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to sound stupid, but I'm saying I know that's what it's about. But
no.
Give us a little idea of what you mean by that.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, when I sat down to write the book, I was thinking about, you know, I've done, like Janet there said, I've worn a lot of hats in entertainment, and I have my own podcast, too. I forgot to mention that, Rossi's World, also on Blog Talk. But I was really thinking, you know, I've done so many different things. I've done a lot of different stuff, you know, and I love doing it all, you know what I mean? And I always said, I was like, no matter what you do, like, you got to do it for yourself first, you know what I mean? Like, believe in yourself, you got to do it for yourself. And I said, well, what's one thing that I haven't done yet? Like, what's something I can do that I haven't quite done yet? And I thought, you know what, I've never written a book. I was like, and a lot of people have told me over the years, you know, man, you should write a book. You know, you got a lot of stuff to say, this and that. So the more I thought about it and chewed on it, I was like, you know what, yeah, I want to write a book, I said, but I knew I wanted it to be nonfiction. I didn't want to write anything fictional. I wanted to write something real. And so I was like, what's something that everybody can kind of relate to? What's something that can, when no matter who picks it up to read it, hopefully whoever is reading can get something out of it. And I said, everybody, and being in entertainment and fitness, like I said, I've met so many people that struggle, myself included, you know, from yesteryear, obviously. I'm pretty good now, but what's something that everybody struggles with? And so many people that I've met struggle collectively with the issue of self-doubt, which is totally normal. You know, we're human beings, you know, so it's going to happen. But what can you do, you know, to try to kind of control that? You know, what are some reasons that you should, and how are some ways that you can do it? And so I started kind of making a list. I started brainstorming a list. I'm like, what do I know about self-doubt? I'm like, other than the fact that, you know, it's not fun to have most of the time. So I said,
right.
I know that there's certain things that you can do to help it, and there's reasons why you should do it. So what I did was I made a whole list of different reasons, and then I made a whole list of different ways that you can help yourself handle that self-doubt. And as I started writing, I started, you know, having to reflect on myself, you know, and look back on times, you know, that maybe, you know, so a lot of people maybe wouldn't want to really think about much. And it was a lot of self-reflection as I was writing the book. And I thought to myself, if people can read this book the way that I'm writing this book, where, like, because it kind of forces you to look at yourself and look at, and take responsibility, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything. One of the things that this woman, Nadine, told me, she called me up. She's like, you know, I'm reading your book, and I just want to say, she goes, it's almost like you're talking directly to me. And I'm like, right. I was like, and that's, I wanted it to be like a personal thing, you know. And I'm like, are you getting anything out of it? And she said, actually, she's like, I'm getting so much out of it. She was like, I'm really understanding certain things. She was like, you word it in a way where it's like you make it really relatable. And that was the goal. Like, it's all about self-reflection.
Ooh. Wow, that's deep, man. You made me think of something because, you know, I think the same way. I experience that self-doubt, you know, almost every Saturday on this show.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, can I pull this off? Can I, you know, I experience the same thing. And I've shared a few stories of my own on my social media pages that people are like, you know, that's unbelievable, you know. But it's good to reflect on that and share those stories. I truly appreciate you saying that because it could, you know, help someone that might be dealing with something. Like you said, the person said it's like you were speaking directly to them. Before you go, I definitely want you to share the information of how we can get a hold of your book. I'm sure Janet may have a question or two for you. Janet, go right ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, how can we purchase your book? And another thing I want to ask, because I know you have done some acting, I just wanted to know, was it in plays or on TV or movies? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my first like acting stuff was actually in pro wrestling because you're playing a character, you know, you got to sell the gimmick, you got to sell the pain, you know, when you're in the ring and everything. So right. I got adapted to that, you know, I got adapted to the acting thing kind of through wrestling. And I always had a camera on me. Like, there was always cameras around, you know. So it got me very, very comfortable in front of an audience, in front of a camera. And really what happened was I haven't done a lot of theater acting or anything like that, but I've been in a couple of independent films and everything. One was called My Brother Kane, where I played the villain, which was a great time. I had so much fun doing it. And, you know, there was a scene, I'm not going to give the whole thing away, but there was a scene where I get shot. And one of the things that the co-director came up to me and he was like, you know, he's like, so you think you can, you know, pull this off and everything? And I was like, yeah, man, I got it. So I act out the scene, right? I do this scene. And afterwards, Sean comes up to me. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? He was like, oh, man. He's like, you were, like, hyperventilating and everything. He was like, wow. He's like, you good? And I was like, I'm fine, brother. And he was like, all right, man. So at the premiere, Chris, the director, comes up to me, puts his arm around me. Yeah, he goes, dude, he was like, your death scene came out awesome. He was like, I couldn't have asked for more. He was like, you did really good. And I was like, well, you can thank pro wrestling for that. I used to have to pretend to be hurt all the time. And then the other gig that I did for acting was with the director's friend, the co-director there, that asked me if I was okay. His name is Sean. Shout out to you, Sean Ubelli. But he did a series called Clark County 1, 2, and 3, and I was in the third one. And in that one, I play like a secret agent, almost like a spy character. So I was on the other side. I was one of the good guys in that one.
Okay, I'm gonna try and find those and check that out. Yeah. Wow.
She had asked about where to purchase my book, so I was just gonna shout that out real quick. The book 20 reasons and 20 ways to diminish self-doubt. You can find that on Amazon. It went number one actually about a month ago and held that spot for about a week or so. And then obviously other books are getting released, so they kind of knock you out of that spot. But just to have a number one bestseller was a big feather in my cap. So at this point, when you go into the search engine, all you got to do is type in 20 REA, and then it pops right up. It's like one of the top two or three things in there. But it's 20 reasons, 20 ways to diminish self-doubt. Available on Amazon. If you have unlimited, it's free, or it's a $5 download, the paperback $15, and the hardcover is $22.
Okay, great.
And hey, look, to be number one, you know, pretty much in almost anything, but no matter what period of time, that's a great accomplishment. You know what I mean? At least you reached that point, you know, and that's fantastic, man. So congratulations on that. You had mentioned. And I'm sure some of the folks that are listening, you mentioned areas of the East Coast. Where are you originally from, so our listeners can know?
Yeah,
and your home.
Upstate New York. Born and raised in Schenectady. I lived in Schenectady my whole life until about 2.5 years ago. I'm in a house now. I got a home gym. I got a home studio. So anybody listening around upstate New York that wants training, don't be afraid to hit me up. But now I'm in Albany, which is the capital, obviously, of New York. So.
Right. I'm originally from upstate New York, Rochester. So I
wrestled in Rochester many times, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Okay, cool. Now, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on in the hip-hop and the rap community and everything. You know, I know that you're aware of all the negative stuff and everything. And you being in the industry, as long as you have in the experience, especially when you're talking about, you know, the West Coast, East Coast, you know, you used to always see that type of beef years ago, right? You don't really see that now. Now it's just local beef. You know, it's this rapper don't like what this rapper said. This and that. Give us your take on how you see the landscape of the rap community right now.
All right, I'm just going to say like this, okay? No disrespect to up-and-comers or anything like that, but if Pac, Biggie, Big L, and Pun were still around, a lot of these rappers in these days I don't think would even have careers, to be completely honest. because it's come to a point now where the landscape has changed so much that almost anybody can become a musician. You know what I mean? Because like, you don't even really have to be that good anymore because it's so flooded and oversaturated. And I think that, like now it's like you said, it's like baby beefs. You know, it's like before it was like real, it was something real, you know, and that's why it was so intriguing and that's why it got so popular. But now it's like you said, this one said this one, this one said that one, and it's gotten to the point now where it's like, all right, enough. Like let's try to backtrack a little bit. Let's stop using auto-tune. Let's actually get, like, the best talents are the ones, and the ones who work the hardest and bring the most should be the ones that, you know what I'm saying, get the most recognition. And it sucks because there's so much talent. Like, even locally, like around where I am, there's some really, really good artists. That just because they maybe don't know the right people, or they don't, you know what I'm saying? There's all different reasons why you might not make it. And Sylvester Stallone said it the best. He said, the best artist in the world, you'll probably never know. You know,
But here's the thing, right, and that's a good point. It's oversaturated, but I start thinking about, or I always think about, the fact that you look at the old school artists from the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? I don't know your age. I'm not going to put it out there, but I know that you know what I'm talking about. You know, some of these cats are still performing, right, and selling out shows. They're selling out. Their music is still being played at your local Walmart or whatever. And I start wondering, these new artists, where's their music going to be 20 years from now? Is it still going to be played in Walmart? Is it going to be played at Target?
Right.
You follow me?
Yep.
I mean, what are you leaving? Yep. What footprint are you leaving, and what legacy, you know, is going to be left with their type of, you know, well, you don't understand. I mean, I'm sorry. You understand what I'm saying. That's what that crosses my mind, you know, and I find kind of interesting when you look at, of course, a person like a Beyonce, her music is going to be there. But look at what she's doing. She's doing her versions of older R&B songs, to be honest, which is cool. You know, I mean, I'm not mad at her. You know, I mean, it's kind of sad that when some of these young folks listen to it and say, you heard that new song by Beyonce? And I said, you mean the remake? And they're like, no, that's new. I'm like, no, that's a remake. That's a remake.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got to educate them. Like, that's an old song. And when you play the original version, they're in shock.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh. You know, that's what I look at, you know, is that where, you know, they say history repeats itself, but maybe in a different form or fashion. Yeah, I don't like what's really going on in the hip hop community or the art. The rap community per se, because there's too much. There's too much violence involved, and too much glorification of violence involved, and that's the sad part of it.
Yeah, I just want to say, tying into what you. Sorry.
No, go ahead, sir.
All right, no, it's all good. I just want to say, tying into what you were saying there, is I agree. It's like that a lot of the artists now are not going to have a lot of longevity. You know, there's a few select, like I can picture Drake, maybe Drake's music being played 20 years from now, and there's a select couple that you can kind of pick and pick. But the majority of them, like because of the oversaturation, it's hard to leave that kind of legacy. So I agree with you on that 100%, man. Just want to say that.
Yeah, that's what really crosses mine a lot. Again, please share how we can get a hold of your new book. Everything with Luca Brasi. And by the way, the name itself, and I'm sure that people probably don't recall if they remember the last time you spoke with us, which has been a few years or a couple of years. How did you come up with that name, Luca? Because I know, but because... It's a movie that I'm sure many of us enjoy, but the character in the movie, tell us that story, please.
Yeah, Luca Brasi. Yeah, the Godfather, Luca Brasi. one of the reasons why I ended up going that with that name when I thought of it, I'll tell you the story in a minute, but was because I thought about the character, and he was probably one of the most loyal people in like any gangster film that I can remember. Was how loyal he actually was to Don Corleone,
right.
You know. So and I tie right. into him with that, where it's like I'm a very loyal person, you know what I mean? I hate confrontation. I don't back down from it if it has to be, you know, if I suspect rudeness, stupidity, or arrogance, or a horrible combination of the three, I will say son you because I have no patience. But I'm a very loyal guy. But the way I came up with the name was my old stage name, which I carried over from wrestling, was TNT. And the older I got, the more kind of childish it seemed to me. And then I was talking to this guy from L.A., and he was like, you got to come up with a new stage name. He was like, that one's not going to work for you anymore. And I was like, all right, finally somebody else said it, so now I know it's the right decision to make. Someone else actually said it to me. And I'm like, all right, I think I just needed to hear it. So I sat down, and we were coming up with all these names, and nothing was really hitting me. And I'm sure, Michael, you've probably been through this so many times where when you're really thinking hard about something, you'll know when the right one comes. You know, and it's just like a moment where you're like, oh, that's it. And that's what happened. I was thinking of all these names, and none of them really, I didn't like any of them. So then one day,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at a red light, and all of a sudden, I thought about my actual name, which my whole name, middle, last, is Luke Brassard Olensky. And I put the whole thing together, Luca Brasi, and I was like, that's it. I was like, it's that simple. I was like, I just combined my whole name together, and I was like, that's it. And so I called a couple of people. I was like, what do you think it is? And they were like, I love it. And they were like, that's perfect. They were like, and I told them, I'm smelling it, Brassy. So because it's my actual name, like, mushed together. And they were like, that's perfect. They were like, that's real good. So that's how that happened. I thought of it at a red light.
That's interesting. And you know what? I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the guy who played the character of Luca Brasi was really a gangster. He was a true gangster.
I'm not 100% sure. I actually don't know. I'm pretty sure that he was based on somebody. I think there was a Luca Brasi gangster. I'm not sure if it was the actual character that was played in the film, but I think they did base it off of the real person, yeah.
Yeah, I have to look that up, and I'll share that with you guys next week. Well, I'll look it up now, but I think I read an article of where the guy who played that actually was in the, you know, underworld type. Well, you know.
Oh, you mean the actor himself? I thought you meant basing the character off real life. The actual actor, I don't know, man. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you know, that when they made the Godfather films, they tried to make it as real as possible. So I wouldn't put it past having an actual gangster in the movie.
You're right.
You know, so interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. Janet had dropped for a moment, but I see she's back. I see other folks here on the board. And you know what? Oh, wow. Seeing that I had these issues with the board going
yeah,
into the
I keep
show.
Yeah, dropping.
I don't know why, but you know what? One thing I didn't get a chance to do was open up a chat room. So let me go ahead and open it up. And I truly apologize for you folks that are listening. It's connecting. So it's got to be something with my laptop. So I truly apologize for what's going on here. But we're going to work through it, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so again, if you don't mind, tell us how we can contact you. Not just for the book, but just to check out your show, which you had mentioned.
Sure.
How can we listen to your podcast? Because as Janet had put on the flyer, I mean, you do hip hop, you're an author, you're a podcast host. How do we hear your show?
Yeah, it's every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called Rossi's World. It's on the Blog Talk platform. And if you want to listen, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and listen through your computer. Or if you want to call in, you can also call in, and you know, we can open up your line if you want to add something to the segment. And it's 516-666-9834. That's 516-666-9834 every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, yeah, tomorrow night I got my buddy Ryan Davis. He's going to be on. He's another independent actor and theater guy.
so he'll be a fun guest to have. And to reach me personally, you can go to my website, which is lucabrassi.com, and then everything is /Luca Brasi, Facebook, Twitter. The only one that's different is my Instagram, because that was already taken, so I had to switch it up. So it's Instagram.com/BrassiLuca. So since my name in reverse, everything else is /Luca Brasi. You'll be able to find me.
All right, fantastic. Okay, so you guys got that information. Make sure you check it out tomorrow night. All right, I'm definitely going to listen in myself. And another question is this. What is on your playlist of music? Who do you listen to?
Oh, man.
When you're not listening to yourself, what is on your playlist? I'm sure it's a vast list, but give us a little tidbit of who's on your continued playlist that you listen to almost, almost every day or at least once a week. What artist and what type of music? Because I'm pretty sure you listen to more than hip hop.
But as far as, like, I'll start with hip hop. Like, I got everything on there from KRS-One. I got some old school. Rakim and Eric B, Paid in Full. Rakim's one of my favorite artists. I got Big Pun on there, Capital Punishment, classic album. Obviously, my boy Eminem, also one of my favorites. I got Nas on there, and then switching it up now, I got Meatloaf on there, Michael Jackson, Huey Lewis and the News. Who else? I got ZZ Top, AC/DC, Metallica. I got a little bit of country. I know I'm not a huge fan of country, but I do like some songs. And then I freaking got Madonna on my playlist, man. I got everything on there.
Okay. Hey, look, you being real about it, because, see, I loved when you said Huey Lewis and the News. I was like, yeah. I mean, before the Back to the Future movies, you guys, there was a band called Huey Lewis and the News. They made more than the songs that you heard from that soundtrack, right? So,
they
yeah,
have so many
the early,
hits, man. Oh, my God. They're amazing.
Man,
they're amazing.
Yeah. The amazing band. Those cats were awesome. And folks don't remember them or never heard of them. But, you know, it's so funny. You can go into a lot of stores and you hear the stores playing their music.
Yep.
And then when you say, like, ZZ Top, you know, she's got legs. Well, yeah, anyway.
Knows how to use them. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's great, man. That's fantastic. People would be shocked if I shared my playlist. In fact, that's like why I don't share it. Because I got everything from rock to classical to, you know, jazz. I mean, just. Because music is a universal sound. It really is.
I just want to throw this one thing in, actually. It's funny you asked me about the music choices, because just this morning I was running a boot camp class for training, right? And I had a couple of women in there. And one of them, like, it went from, like, M to DMX and then hopped over to, like, AC/DC and then went back to Jimmy Somerville. And then what else came on? And then a Meatloaf song came on, and then the Five came on, then the Spin Doctors, and they're like, "What the hell is up with your music?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "You got everything. Like, where's this going? Like, it's all over the map." And I'm like, "Yo, I can't help it, man. I love music. I love music in general."
Right. Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned the training class, because, of course, you know, as far as fitness and everything. That's fantastic that you're doing that. And the question I really have is that when it comes to training and fitness, but what about healthy eating? Do you share any of that during your training classes with your clients, you know, what to eat, what's, you know, can you kind of speak on that?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Yeah, not usually. Share that? Usually. Nutrition is something, like, usually when I start, to answer your question, I don't talk about it directly in the classes, but I'll set time aside to talk to people about that. But one thing with nutrition is I try to stress to people, I was like, your nutrition is 95% of it. But I don't like to force it on people, because I don't want to be pushy, so I'll ask them, do you want help with your nutrition? If they tell me no, I'll tell them, okay, then as long as you know what you're doing, but if you don't know what you're doing, your results will be hindered. So it's best to follow some kind of nutrition program. Most people tell me they want help with that. So the first thing I'll have them do is I'll have them fill out a PARQ, which is just a readiness questionnaire, physical at just a questionnaire that you do at the beginning, the PARQ. And so then after I go through that, I find out approximately how much water they're having every day. They'll give me an idea of kind of what their eating habits are. And I've heard some people who knew what they were doing and some people who thought they knew what they were doing and did not at all, and people who straight up admitted they didn't know what they were doing. And so I would sit down and help them. And there's several different ways that you can train your body to eat. You know, there's intermittent fasting. There's the paleo, which I'm not a huge fan of. There's the keto, which I'm also not a huge fan of. There's the every 3 hour routine, you know, where you get your three macros in every 3 hours. So there's more than one way to do it. And really it comes down to lifestyle. Like, I'll talk to people, like, what kind of lifestyle do you lead? And then, okay, this is what I think the best plan would probably be for you. And then, you know, I'll go over food sources with them. But I don't sit down with people to write out a plan and I say, okay, on Monday you got to eat this, on Tuesday you got to eat this. I like to try to give people options so that they can kind of, you know, there's some kind of freedom in there, because it does get monotonous sometimes. And then, hypothetically speaking, if a guy comes to me saying he wants to lose 50 pounds, I'll tell him, okay, here's what we're going to do. Lose half of it first. Lose 25, and then start incorporating a day off where you can kind of go off the diet and kind of eat what you want for a day. That's what I do, and my day is actually today, Saturday. So I just had some pizza at a birthday party. But tomorrow I'll be right back on my plan, you know what I mean? And I tell people, you got to train. You got to train your mind. You got to train your mind a certain way, you know what I mean? It's not just physical. It becomes just as much mental as it does physical, you know?
Right. So I want to ask you one more question here, and it just happened to cross my mind as you were speaking. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, you had Richard Simmons had all the videotapes of exercising and this and the other. You had, what's his name, Billy Blank, you know, put out the videotapes. Well, videotapes still exist, but people now can just upload or download or watch a live stream and everything. Have you ever considered or are you doing your training establishment or everything of doing that, as far as doing a live stream or doing something on, you know, your own page or maybe YouTube, where you could reach more folks other than having to come to your location, I guess is what I'm saying, of where you could reach out and they can see you through media in that form.
Yeah.
Where you can share how to exercise.
I have considered doing that. That's something that's going to be just a little bit down the road, simply because I just went on the books with the new business, which is POW PT and Fitness. Also, my website is POW-Fitness.com. Again, that's POW-Fitness.com. And you can also reach me through there. My email address is and stuff on there. But it is something I have considered doing and will do, but these next, like, year or two are going to be crucial in building this business, in building up this business. And things are starting to pick up now. You know, I have more people coming in. Things are really starting to get rolling. And I'm like, okay, let me take these next couple of years and really establish myself here. Once I have that, I'll be able to expand a little bit. But that was one of the first things on my list, actually, was creating like, you know, Tony Horton with the P90X was trying to kind of create my own, like, workout system, you know what I mean, and something like that, and then find different ways and different avenues, like you said, to live stream and get my face out in front of more people. So, yeah, that is definitely on the list.
Fantastic, man. You know, I'm glad that you came on today, because you inspired me to look at – you know what, Janet, I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
I have to write a book. Well, Janet knows a lot of my stories, and I have a lot of people to back it up, and that's one thing. Now, the exercise thing, I'm like, you know, a buck 50 in size, so I don't have to lose any weight. I'm not worried about that. I'm trying to gain a little bit of weight. But, wow, that's fantastic. Bro, that's fantastic. I'm very happy and proud of you. You know, it's been... Dan, I think it's been about 2 or 3 years since we talked almost 2.5 years since we talked to you.
Right.
At least, because that was when we were with the J. King Network.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right,
Dan.
That phone number kind of reminded me of the J. King Network, his 666-9834.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Right, I just wanted to say, because I know I started, like, not dieting, but watching what I eat, because I realized it's not what you eat, it's how much of it, you know? So
yes.
I believe I can, I like eating a lot of different foods, but I just really try to do portion control. And I was able to lose at least 60 pounds doing that.
Oh,
and
congratulations.
Able to keep it off. Mm-hmm. Without dieting.
Wow.
Just supplements. Mm-hmm.
That's for you.
So what do you
all
think
right.
about, do you tell your clients about vitamins and supplements and things like that to help them on their weight loss journey? Okay.
Yeah, there's three supplements that I always recommend to people most of the time. And also I tell everybody, before you go on anything, make sure you read the back and make sure you're not allergic to anything. Because I don't want to recommend something that's going to kill somebody. So I tell you, make sure that you're not allergic in case there's peanuts or something and you can't have it, whatever. But the three that I usually recommend to all people, okay, no matter what, is a multivitamin, some kind of calcium supplement, and a probiotic. And those are the three that I usually recommend to people. And then there's other ones like your sports aminos, protein powders, glutamine powders, arginine for blood flow, chlorella, which is a superfood, really, really good, helps support weight loss. Apple cider vinegar is a really good one that I tell people to have. It's loaded with antioxidants. There's so many good things in it. But there's all different. I'm on a bunch of different supplements, but everything I take is natural. Okay, I'm not gonna lie and say that I haven't done a cycle here and there. I've done a cycle here and there. You know, when I was prepping for photo shoots and stuff, but it's not something that I've done a lot of or that I live on. So.
What do you?
But as a trainer, I have to ask you this. Well, as a trainer, you said and getting people in shape. I have to ask this that where. With your clients, though, I'm sure you come across some that are, on the level 1 to level 10, and I'm going to explain what I mean, where you got an individual that comes to you that might be obese, all right? That's a fair enough word, right? And be like, I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you'd be like, okay. or a person who might, I just want to tone up a little bit. How do you size them up? And maybe that's not the right word to say, but how do you look at a person? Do you ever have to say, okay, I have to, or I'm going to work with this person in a different way than I would do with another person? You follow my point?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to take a look at the individual. And then they share with you what their habits are, right, eating-wise and this and the other. Do you have to go through all that, and how do you work with that and work through it?
Yeah, usually what happens, okay, is the first thing I do is I give a consultation. As soon as I see somebody, I start assessing them before we even get into the assessment. As soon as I visualize them, a lot of people have really bad protraction in the shoulders where their shoulders are kind of hunched forward, their feet point out to the sides, and that tells me, okay, you got tight hips, you got some tightness up in the uppers, we got to straighten you out. And I start kind of looking at them before we even say a word. Then I'll talk to them and I'll say, okay, what are your goals? Tell me what your goals are. And they'll tell me their goals. And what I do, the way I train, okay, is the first thing after the consult is I do a formal assessment. Okay, I have them do certain movements and certain exercises to see how their core strength is, how their stability is, their stabilizer muscles, and see kind of where we need work. And then I explain to them, here's what we're going to do. There's things that you want, and then there's things that you need. Okay, we're going to include what you want, but I'm also going to incorporate it. I'm also going to be incorporating things that you need, okay? So not everything is going to be specific to what they said they wanted to do, but it's going to be things that are going to help them to get to where they want to be. Because just for example, this guy Hassan, shout-outs to you, Hassan. He's doing fantastic. His body fat's gone down a crazy amount. He's starting to get V'd out. His
starting to get vascularity. He's getting excited because he's starting to see his veins in his forearms, so he's getting all hyped up. And he told me, he was like, brother, he was like, you notice I'm walking straight now. My shoulders are back. I was like, yeah. I was like, I worked on that with you. He was like, you did? And I was like, yeah, this is what I mean. I'm not going to tell you every single little thing I'm doing, but it's all going to come together. So he's walking straighter. Right. His core is tighter. Like, he's stronger. He's more massive. He's putting on muscle. And so, but you also, to answer one of the other things, just to rewind in a second, you said they come to me and say, I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm honest with people, okay? I'm completely honest with people, and I'll say, okay, you want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. My first question is, do you have 10 hours a day to dedicate to your fitness? And no, I could never do that. Okay, then you can. Then I end it right there. Then you don't expect to ever look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like, you can look like Arnold Schwarzenegger now. I was like, if you want to look like him now, you just gotta go eat a couple donuts and hang out on the beach with a cigar. I was like, but if you want to look like him back from Mr. Olympia in 1975, you gotta eat clean, dedicate yourself about 10 hours a day. I'm like, you gotta be in the gym. Everything has to revolve around your body. And they're like, okay, like never mind. And so I'm like, just shoot for what's reasonable and what's realistic, man. You know what I mean? If you can't right. become a bodybuilder, don't try to be a bodybuilder.
You're right. You're definitely right. Yeah. But, you know, I see, and not just men, but I see some women that, to be honest, I mean, actually, I had a conversation with a person the other day, and they were saying, oh, no, I couldn't have no muscles. It's just a female. I'm like, a woman being toned. You know, there's a difference between being a bodybuilder and just being toned. Am I correct?
Yeah.
There are women out there that are not bodybuilders, but they have muscle mass. You know.
Uh-huh.
You guys know what I'm talking about. You're attracted to it. I'm not going to lie. It's okay. You know, to look at a woman who's in great shape. You know, but the thing is that where some women feel like, no, that looks too masculine. Do you have an opinion on what looks too masculine for a woman, per se, than a man, or for a woman that is just trying to get toned, just getting all the fat off and just...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I always say to each their own, you know, I'm not going to outright judge it, you know, but the thing with me is no matter what, male or female, I appreciate a good physique. So I love watching bodybuilding shows. Like if there's, you know, somebody with a nice physique on the beach or something, it's like, wow, because I know the work that goes into it. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm looking at it in envy or I'm looking at a woman with a really nice physique like, oh, my God, I want to get with her. I'm admiring the work. I'm like, I know what it takes to get to that level, you know what I mean, and the dedication. So it's impressive to me, you know. I've actually been dating, and, like, I've had chicks get pissed off at me because I'm looking at another chick, and I try to explain it. I'm like, no, you don't get how my mind works. I was like, I'm not looking at her because I want to get with her. I'm like, look at her freaking calves. I'm like, you got calves like that? No, you don't, so shut up. No, I'm kidding. No, but
you know, there's
but
a woman on the internet who's about – no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. You're good, man. Like, I had a friend that was a female bodybuilder, and I'm talking like she actually did look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. She looked like a dude. She obviously, I'm not going to put it out there. Like, we know what she did to get that look. You know, I'm not going to even say it, but we know what she did. And for me, like, I appreciated the work, if you know what I mean, but I wasn't attracted to it, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I know what it takes, so I appreciated the physique and the work, but I would, like, she asked me once, she was like, you think I'm attractive, Luke? And I was like, honestly, I appreciate the work, but no, you're not my type. You know, I had to put it lightly because I didn't want her to eat me. But
well, you know what? I like the fact that you said that because, you know, I mean, because I'm sure some of us, maybe not all of us, but there's a woman who's like, what, 70 something years old. She's in great shape. You see her on social media. She's in fantastic shape, you know. So what's wrong with that? You know, and people will make some responses about, oh, well, she's on steroids and everything. No, maybe she just did, like what you just said, exercise, ate healthy, and this is these are the results, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can usually, honestly, just by looking at somebody, I can usually tell whether or not they're on the juice or not. You know, it becomes pretty obvious once you've been in the industry. I've been in the industry for, God, since I was 13, so that's about 24 years. So in that time, I can look at people now and I'll be like, yes, they're on it. No, they're not, you know, so.
What's the juice? What are you talking about?
Wait, say that again, Janet? Sorry.
You said that you know if they're on the juice. I said, what's the juice?
Oh, steroids. That's just another for steroids. Sauce,
okay.
Juice, steroids.
That's just
all kinds of names.
Right.
The gear. Some people call it gear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are code words, Janet. You don't want to say steroids. Yeah, I'm using steroids. You know, I have some juice. Hey, man, I have some juice we can have. Oh, okay. And what is it? Orange? Man. But anyway. But, yeah, that's what he means. Wow. That's amazing. Luca, man, I truly appreciate you. You know, I feel like I really learned a lot and appreciate the fact that you shared a lot. And, again, I want you to share with all the listeners how they can contact you. And I really want to see what you were saying is where, of course, I know what you're doing, and I'm doing kind of like the same thing of, you know, take, you know, a step at a time as far as getting your product, getting your work out there. But I would love to see you out there and having a live stream, you know, from your location share your knowledge, you know what I'm saying, and help folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
sure.
I'd love to see that. And hopefully you can come back when that happens. Well, actually, you're going to come back before that happens or when that happens, either way, because I'm pretty sure there's going to always be a time that we want to bring you back in and converse with us about health, you know. It's an ongoing process. Is what I'm saying. It's an ongoing process. And I'm sure that you always learn something new every day, and you know, and you put that in your memory bank. So thank you so much. Again, please share how everyone can contact you, reach you, and follow you.
Sure. All right, again, it's you can find me at lucabrassi.com. Or you can hit me on social media. It's Facebook and Twitter /Luca Brasi. If you want to check out the podcast page, it's facebook.com/Brasi's World. My fan page, it's facebook.com/Luca Brasi Fans. My Instagram handle is @BrasiLuca. You can find me on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation. Reverb Nation is actually pretty interesting now for me because it's all my really, really old music. So if you want the old school TNT and beginning of the Luca Brasi era, you can find me on Reverb Nation /Luca Brasi. SoundCloud, same thing. And, again, my training site, pow-fitness.com. Again, it's pow-fitness.com. You can email me, lucabrasi85@gmail.com. And, Brasi's World, again, the number is 516-666-9834 every Sunday night, 8 p.m. EST. And shout-outs to you, Michael, and you, Janet. Guys, thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. And, thank you so much again. And I look forward to coming back on sometime. Pal.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Hey, you guys, put your hands together for our special guest this Saturday evening. Mr. Luca Brasi. Right, thank you, God. Thank you. Okay, thank you. All right. Hey, wow. Janet, great conversation with Luca. Appreciate the knowledge that he shared. I truly appreciate that.
I'm afraid that I might not be able to call back in because I have a hard time getting back in. It's the board.
Well, I tell you what. All you have to do is just call me directly to my number. You know it.
Yeah.
And then
if I can't call back in, I will call you on your phone. Yeah.
Yeah, just call me right back. So I'm getting text messages from people. And let me take a look at some of them real quick.
Real quick, Luca, thank you so much, man. It was a lot of fun. Oh, no, Luca, thank you so much, man. We definitely have to have you come back on. If you're still on the board, Luke, you can definitely join us in the next segment of the show. Michelle says, yes, it's the board. So, Michelle, I don't know what it is. See, I'm on, but the volume is cutting in and out. I'm going to log back in.
I have to call back six or seven times before they let me get in.
Okay, so that's not my laptop. That has to be Blog Talk. So let me see what's going on here.
It's hanging up on me.
Okay, so let me see what I can do here on this end, okay, guys? Bear with me. Okay. Let me do this. Well, Janet, you still here. All right, so I see other people on the board. There's 216 area code. There's a 404. 216-780 is on the board. Hello, how you doing? You can hit the number 1 if you want to join the conversation. 404-918 is on the board. Hello to you, too. And Bring It Boy is in the chat room. Hello, NG. Sorry. Hello, NG. Why you put NG? Okay, they messed up twice. But anyway, hello, Bring It Boy. How you doing? Nice to see you there. All right. So let's move on to our next topic of this evening. Wow. I want to talk about the political thing about what's happening with the which we do plus basis on it, about the search of documents at Mar-a-Lago. Well, it's getting deeper. It's getting deeper. And what I really want to do, though, before that, is talk about the student loan situation where Biden, the president, said, okay, he's gonna let them go. Follow me, Janet. He wants to let them go for $10,000 and this and the other. But there's a lot of Republicans that are upset about this.
Right.
And then they got called out. Well, you got PPP loans for your businesses, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She got $183,507. I think those numbers are right. If you Google it and look, I think I'm close to right.
That's right.
And she didn't want her to pay it back. So why would you get upset that
you
the President of the United States? Well, hold on. I'm almost done. Why would you get upset that the President is trying to find a way? And it doesn't matter that it's Biden or anybody else. If any president, I don't care if he was Democrat or Republican, said, hey, look, you know what? I'm going to find a way to take care of student loans. Because you look at it where colleges are high. If you go to college, it's high. And then I looked at recently where now businesses are not worried about you having a four-year college, you know what I'm saying, spending 4 years in college. It's not about what you know, it's what you can do right now. Ever since the pandemic, I was just watching this, and they said, these experts said, companies now are at a point of where they just need people who can perform, not what they know. Look at the difference. Not what you know, what you were, taught, what you can do. Does that make sense? Some of you probably don't. But the companies are kind of suffering. Because the knowledge comes from the workforce, right? From the people. But it's not necessarily of how many hours you spent in the classroom, how much credit you got. No, they're suffering. They're looking for people who can produce, not what they know in their head, what they can do on site. And then when you look at this whole thing of where what Biden's trying to do, it's $10,000 or whatever. You got politicians who have had businesses that got a PPP loan and they were forgiven. Politicians who are paid through your tax dollars want to get upset because of what they're trying to do here, meaning what Biden is trying to do. When I say here, let's remember that people are upset the fact that the United States is helping Ukraine battle Russia. This is the silent war between us and Russia, to be honest, in my opinion. This is the silent war. It's not a war directly, but it's played out on a different landscape, right? And people are upset. Well, how come we spending all these millions of dollars and we supporting this country? Well, there might be a reason you probably don't know. Because they're probably an ally to a certain extent for us. And again, I'll say, I'm not no expert. I've never claimed to be one. But maybe we need to protect Ukraine for certain reasons.
Democracy.
I do not agree. Well, right. But I do not agree with hostile takeovers. I don't agree when the United States have done it. And we've done it. There's no doubt about it. But you got to do what you got to do, right? So let me say on point here. The thing is that when we're talking about the allowing what Biden is doing is saying, hey, look, we're gonna go ahead and move that away. Here's some Republicans and some Democrats, I'd say both sides, don't agree with it. But they all got money. And none of them ever offered to pay it back. Keep in mind, I want to remind you that all of them are paid their jobs through your tax dollars. Right? Lieutenant, am I right?
Right.
They're paid through your tax dollars. So everything government is paid through what you pay. So, Jen, explain to me, why are people so mad? Why is Marjorie Taylor Greene and Getz so upset about this whole thing? I mean, they got, a waiver, or I won't say a waiver, but they were forgiven, or they were allowed to get the money and walk away and not pay it back. Why are they so upset about this?
A lot of people have short-term memory. They don't, we're in the 21st century where you have social media, you put things out there, it comes back to bite you in the butt, So it's easy to check when somebody gets a government loan or a PPP, So you can't sit there and complain about a $10,000 or a $20,000 with the PAL when you got $183,504, I think it was, dollars. And you got several other GOP representatives. Some got over $1 million. But they're complaining, which is crazy.
So, well, yeah. And that's the whole thing. And the thing is that when we talk about this, see, this is when I want the Republican supporters chime in and explain to me or us why they have an issue with this. Were you being honest? You're being a hypocrite. You're okay with the fact that you were giving money but you're mad that somebody else is getting even less than what you got to support or make your business survive, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. For you all that are listening, I have to tell you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, right, Georgia. I live in Georgia. Okay? I know what she's done. I followed her trail from one end of the state to the other end of the state, Rome, Georgia, Floyd County. And then now, they're trying to make it where she can control Powder Springs, Georgia, part of Cobb County. And it's like, how is that possible?
And on sale.
And on sale, right. Do the research. How is that possible?
We
the majority black. Well, hold on. Austell and Powder Springs is majority black. That's a fact. Do the research. So how else is possible when you do this redistricting and all that type of crap? What is the agenda? What is the plan here? But she had $180-something thousand. How much did Gates have?
I'm pulling it up now. I think he was 400-something. I'm pulling it up.
And so the President of the United States is trying to allow $10,000 to be, forgiven per person. But these individuals were given, they were like allowed to have in the hundreds of thousands, not the tens of thousands, but the hundreds of thousands.
Right. Well, two of the Congress representatives got in the millions. I'm trying to pull it up.
Okay, so let me go ahead. I want to go ahead and read what Brigitte Boy put up on the chat room. Brigitte Boy says student loan for college is a choice that is understood requirement to pay back. PPP loan was because of circumstances beyond their control, affecting business owner and employees depending on business owner. Okay, so bring it, boy. I love that response. I like that you shared that. But here's the crazy thing about it. These assholes weren't broke.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't broke. They had the money to take care of their damn business. Ask the L.A. Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. They were offered it. Many businesses who had the money to do business during the pandemic were offered that and were eligible to get the money. Correct me if I'm wrong. Some
right.
took it, some didn't. But, I mean, freaking boy, come on now. That's greed. That's just greed. Not just Marjorie Taylor Greene, but any business who could have afforded it, even though they were eligible to receive it, take the taxpayers' money and don't even offer to pay it back when they definitely had the money in the beginning to take care of their employees or their business or this, that, and the other. No, that's greed. Janet, you agree or disagree?
No, yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
I mean, come on. I'm sorry. I have morals. I wouldn't feel comfortable getting a loan knowing I have the money. You know, even if, in fact, let me tell you this. I would ask someone, loan me $100. You know what? I pay them back. Sometimes I pay them back with interest when they don't even ask me for the interest. Because I appreciate the fact they loaned it to me. These assholes didn't even attempt to give back anything. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's the taxpayers' money. And now you want to jump up and down because the president says, you know what, I want to go ahead and do this for these folks. And then when you talk about college, look at how businesses now, as I just said, they're not looking at a person who has 4 years. What do you know? They're needing to hire people. They're willing to take a chance. How many times have you seen an advertisement back in the day in a paper that said, need 2 years experience? Well, how the hell am I going to have 2 years experience if I just got out of school?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I just graduated from college. How the hell am I going to have 2 years of experience in this field that I went to school for? And I just graduated from college. What sense does that damn make?
And it also didn't make sense when they got rid of a lot of the trade schools that helped people who couldn't afford to go to college. So they could get a decent job being a machinist or something.
But Janet, you hit a nerve right there because the trade schools are doing better than the colleges now. Believe it or not, there are more people going to trade schools. You know how much a plumber makes?
Mm-hmm.
A guy who does HVAC? You need your AC. You need your heating and air 24/7, 365 days a year. You need that shit to work. Trade schools are doing better than colleges now. Correct me if I'm wrong. But as the population grows, yes, people need to have a trade. You can make money having a trade. Look at the many Hispanic individuals here who have trades. Hell, I have a trade. I'm just a little bit older, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, it's where people go to college to be a doctor and everything. Well, when I went to the hospital, I didn't see many people from here, to be honest. Okay, I want to make sure I don't make you folks think that I'm being racist. But most of the doctors I've seen were of different descent. Not a white guy, not a black guy. No, it's an Indian cat. Guess what? He moved here. He learned. He went to school here, and now he's a doctor here. Some of them will go back home to share their trade back home. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
I know many of them. I know many who have said that's what they do. So Bring It Boy says, I get where President Biden is coming from in wanting to alleviate some of the stressful burden to students at the start of their career. But no matter, Congress is the only authorized to pass the resolution, pass legislation. Now, President. Well,
Michael.
Go ahead, Jenna.
Everybody, well, I know, and I know a lot of people know, that there is, far as the wealth gap, it's a big difference between what a white person gets, a black person, an Asian person, a Hispanic person, and it's not fair, but they have that scale, and it's different from a man and a woman, you know, so Biden is just trying to close the gap a little bit, and this is just a start, because like Matt Gaetz, he got over 480-something thousand in PPP loan. You know, they're on TV, on Fox News, in different places complaining about 10,000 or 20,000 with the Pell Grant. That's just a drop in the bucket compared to what they got that was forgiven completely. And look at their salaries, you know. I wouldn't even say anything because, like I was saying before I got cut off, social media is everything you say and do is out there. It comes back to haunt you. So you got to be careful.
Okay, so,
just like they got all these commercials out there saying that Inflation. Oh, the inflation is going down. Gas is going down. Prices are going down.
Here's the thing though, Janet. And you just said what I basically have been thinking and trying to share is that where, you know, how can you have the balls or whatever to complain, meaning these individuals, about this when you receive the same treatment? How can you get upset? You know, if anything, you should have kept your mouth shut, because you should have realized, I mean, meaning Marjorie Taylor Greene and all that, they should have kept their mouths shut, because the facts are there that you received money. Doesn't matter if it was a PPP, you know, it doesn't matter. You still received money. You received a loan. And you were allowed to, or you were not forced to pay it back, right?
Yeah, it was a forgiveness loan. You didn't have to pay it back.
Okay, so right. You didn't have to pay it back. And that's what I see what the president is introducing for college students. And, you know, and the thing is that where I was listening to Tim Black last night, and he and I spoke, and he said that, you know, at first he didn't agree with it. But then he thought about it. He was like, well, why not? I'll go back to what I said in the beginning of this conversation. Why not give some relief to these individuals who've gone to school, graduated from high school, gone to school, trying to advance their education? Again, I saw where an individual was saying that where companies now are not demanding 4-year education anymore. They're kind of taking in more of the trade school individuals. Also, you have to look at the fact that where, why not give a relief to these individuals here in America? You're mad about the money going to defend another country, and now you're going to be mad about helping the young folks. And not everybody that goes to college graduates. Let's look at that. Not everybody that goes to college finishes. Not everybody. So what if this is the best thing to do? Now, this is a one-time thing.
Hold on.
This is not an ongoing thing that Biden is saying for everybody. This is just a one-time thing, and that's it. That's it.
Now, they said this is just the beginning. But the thing is, a lot of those students might have $50,000 debt. So $10,000 is just a drop in the bucket, because it's based upon your income, whether you make a $75,000 or $125,000 or $250,000 for a couple.
Well, if you have a $50,000 debt, look, surprise, we're gonna go ahead and take off $10,000 of it. Either way, it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start. And as far as people who are in politics,
the Democrats
like,
$50,000.
Well, if you have a $50,000 debt, if you know, it's just like if you owe the bank, if you owe anybody money, they'll set up a payment plan, right? When I say
now,
anybody,
they'll have
I'm
you
saying
set for the rest of your life, just about paying it off.
Well, at least. And then you have companies that say, hey, look, if you're in debt for, you know, you see the advertisements. If you're in debt over $10,000, we'll break it down to where you only pay this amount and everything. You know, you see that shit. All right. It's a start. There's plenty of people every day that call those numbers on TV. I know some folks who have been $20,000 in debt and managed to work it out to where they only paid so much, or either they worked it out where, okay, you owe us $20,000, how about you just pay us $10,000 of that $20,000? They'll do that, believe it or not. They want to retrieve some of the money. See, what they're doing basically is removing the interest rate to get the main portion that you actually borrowed on.
The principal.
They just want the principal. Thank you. They just want the principal back. The interest rate was the fact that was the fact or the penalty, however you want to word it. Was like, oh, you were late, so we're going to charge this. Okay, you know, we're going to waive all that shit. Just give us back the money we initially loaned you. That's all we want. And we'll invest that into something else down the road. Just give us back our money. You cool with what we want to charge you, which is kind of like a loan shark does, right? A loan shark says, I'm going to give you this $100, but you're going to have to pay me $150. Back. That's the cost of the loan. You didn't ask for $150. You asked for $100, but you're gonna have to pay back $50 because we gave you $100. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how the game works. Correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, how the game works. But to go ahead and pay back the initial amount, it's all in the clear. Okay, so let me see. I see a hand up, 216-780. I'm sorry, I was looking away from the board. I'm going to open to your mic. Good evening. Welcome to the TMGS, and it's Penny Willing, and now your mic is open. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Michael, how you doing? This is Victor calling. You know, I think you're familiar with my number by now.
Well, I think I am. I'm going to go ahead and start logging you into the board.
Yeah, but I know it's been a while since I've called because of, you know, it's summertime. Mm-hmm. You got weddings and birthday parties, and sometimes you got a funeral here and there. So I try to get a listen in every now and then, so. But I want to say, the first part, the gentleman that you had on in the first hour, that was dynamite. Because I'm in fitness and everything.
With the Brassy, yeah.
Yes. I have, you know, I do work out. I'm probably not built like him, but, you know, I've been an athlete most of my life. So you try to stay fit, especially as you get older. You know what I'm saying? We up in that age where we got to take care of ourselves a lot better.
Amen.
And be mindful of what we eat and everything. And I want to say good evening to Sister Janet there. And always good to hear her voice. Yes, yes, yes. But with the topic in hand, the student loans. See, this is the problem with Congress. With people in our government. You know, it was exposed not to, 10, 15 years ago, that they could just write checks for themselves and just take money out of their own. They have a private bank. I forget exactly how that story went. But these folks can just literally write themselves checks. You know, there was stories that came out of how some of them were accused of sexual misconduct, or not necessarily sexual assault, but what's the other I can't think of what they exactly call it, but when you overly flirtatious with a woman and she complains about it, harassment.
Well, harassment. If you look at what's the name, the chef. What is his name? The big white guy. He just did a settlement in court. Bilaldi, I think it is. Okay, you know, he was doing a selfie with a person, and she claimed that he groped her, and kissed her aggressively, right? So that's harassment, I guess you could say. But he just recently, there has been more than one individual. He did an out-of-court settlement with him just to make it go away, right? So I think
right.
that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it came out that they even had a fund where they could just pay these victims sexual assault or sexual harassment cases. They can pay them off. But there's a list that
right.
nobody can find. But see, it's easy to spend other people's money. And that's the unfortunate thing about the folks in our government. You know, you were talking about the war in Ukraine. I mean, this is insidiously insane to spend billions upon billions of dollars when this didn't even have to happen. If Biden had not shut down our natural gas and oil industry in this country, it wouldn't have happened. They did the same thing under Obama. They went in, Putin went into Crimea. He built the Nord Stream 1, and now he's getting ready to build the Nord Stream 2. And if we just left our industries alone, because, yes, gasoline prices are down. People are not traveling as much as they once were. But you can best believe after the election it's going to skyrocket again, because the move is to get all of us out of our combustible engines. And that is
okay, so I have to ask you this. But you said it's going to skyrocket again. On whose behalf?
Absolutely.
Who's going to make it skyrocket? Who's going to make it skyrocket?
Well, simply because once the election is over, because you know Biden is all over the globe begging people to send us fuel or oil or whatever the case might be, it's gonna skyrocket again, based upon the fact that political pressures will be placed upon companies to start slowing down production
mm-hmm.
again. There's going to be more cuts against some of the industries in this country that are still operating. So we're in some big time trouble. You know, we got tens of thousands of people living on
you.
The streets.
I agree with you on that. But who do you blame?
I mean,
Democrats, Republicans, or do you blame the elite? You know, because here's my question is this.
Well, that's a good question.
Hold on. I want to ask you this. I want to state this, and then I'll let you go ahead and speak. And you know, as I always say, I don't claim to know everything. I appreciate having
right.
this platform so I can hear your point of view and everybody else's point of view and share it. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that you know, you got the 2% and the other, 99%. Okay, this is always an argument. But you look at it where as prices go up, okay, and I can look at every day because where I work, I see where a product only costs $1 and the next day it went up 50 cents more. Three freaking cookies
mm-hmm.
went up 50 cents more. Cookies. Why?
Right.
Okay. And then here's my next thing is this. How is it that where the price of gas went up so high, but all these companies are making record profits? How are you profiting when people are suffering is what I don't understand. How the fuck are you profiting and people are suffering? That makes no sense to me.
Because they raised the prices.
Well, the word profit is still the same. Profit. No, remember I said record profits. Right, you're in business to make a profit. But record profits, well and beyond what you normally make while people are suffering, trying to buy stuff.
I mean,
it doesn't.
I'm trying to figure out
how
these folks are making such a big profit when they're shutting down the industries. This is a move all over the country. I remember he shut.
Listen, world, yeah.
I've worked on pipeline projects before, and Ms. Janet said something that really, I've always spoken about. It's something that got me excited when she said it, and she talked about the trade schools and all of that stuff. And being someone who has worked on these projects, I've made six figures. That kind of money is possible to make out there. And there are a lot of middle-class people, you know, who work in the industry that make that kind of money. Like you said, a plumber, electrician, you know, some of these guys make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. But the people that are most absent and most underrepresented in the trade industries are melanated people, our people. So it hurts, you know, it's a painful process to watch when you got tens of thousands of people just pouring across the border. We don't know who they are. We don't know what kind of ailments they bring into the country, you know, and then they're being moved into our neighborhoods. Not that I have anything against people who are Hispanic or whatever their race or nationality or whatever country they're from. I don't have a problem with that. I just have, you know, you come into the country, you should come in the right way. And so
who come into this country not just from the southern border. There are illegals who come through in this country with passports.
Absolutely.
Guess what? They don't leave. Okay, and the thing is that how do we hunt them down? We're not going to spend the resources trying to hunt them down. We're going to stay at the border as we always have and go after the Hispanics that come over, not just from Mexico, by the way, but Honduras and South America. That's where we ourselves, and we make the American public think that everybody illegal is coming from south of the United States border. No, there are people that come illegally by air, come here with a passport legally, but then they overstay their visit.
Overstay
and
their
then
visas.
Their visas, right. So who's going after them? How come we don't hear about that shit? How come we don't hear about the investigation on that? No, we don't.
Well,
I haven't.
We don't, but it doesn't, just because we don't hear it doesn't mean it isn't happening. But here's the difference, though. We're watching tens of thousands of people every week coming across the border. We're seeing children who are being trafficked. We're seeing people dying, literally dying. Some of the reports that don't even come across the news media. And, you know,
No, I said right. But, no, you were right. There's a lot of stuff that never comes across in news media at all. True. Because they don't want to share it. And I mean, every aspect of the news media, not just a Democrat-backed news media, not just CNN, but even Fox or any other newsy, all of them.
Because the Biden administration is right now still trying to get all those children that were separated from their parents and shipped off to different states and their parents sent back to Guatemala and Honduras and various places. That was wrong, you know, because
that stuff did happen. But one of the things that you got to remember, a lot of these young folks that are coming in across that border are coming in with people that are not even their parents. They're being trafficked. Not only that, you know, women, they talk about the rape trees. I've seen reports from down in Texas where, you know, these are not just folks who are Republicans. I mean, these are folks who are actually telling the story about what goes on. And you got folks who have been caught up in sex trafficking rings, and they're telling their story. Now, we don't see it, you know, so, you know, but we do know human
trafficking
rings,
not just at the border. I mean, we not too long ago had a story about how they was doing sex trafficking in Washington, D.C.
But see, that's probably, you can probably best believe that a lot of those folks are some of the folks that came in across that border. But when we have that is in decline. No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, okay, so I want to say this. Hold on, everybody, just a second. You remember the movie with Liam Neeson, Taken?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, both of them.
Remember, there was one of them. Right. Okay, so there was one where sex trafficking was actually the story, right? I think it was Taken 2, where
his daughter was taken. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So you look at, and this is what gets me, is that the characters that they use are always from another country or whatever, Colombian or this and the other, right? It's always that way. But the thing is that there's Americans who do this shit.
Yeah.
There's Americans.
Hold on.
But it's not always a Colombian guy. There's an American white boy. There's an American black guy. There's an Asian guy. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised. But that is the narrative that they give you on these movies, that, oh, it's always someone, you know, who lives in Guatemala or someone who lives in Colombia who's the kingpin. No, the kingpins live right the fuck here. Excuse my language, I don't normally cuss, but this is what really irks me, that we believe the movie narrative and don't realize, which we found them to be true, a lot of times it's people who are just everyday, white or black, whatever, Americans, born and raised here, right? So, again, I say that the trafficking, right, there's a lot of people. It goes down the line. The guy across the border is not running what the hell is going on here within the border. There's other individuals, right? Other individuals, mm-hmm, of every nationality that is making this happen. So let's not forget that fact. Bring It Boy has typed a few things in the chat room. Bring It Boy, I'm not going to read everything that you said, but I'm going to say this. And you know what? I'd like for you to call in from time to time. People love to hear your voice. says, why hasn't Biden or Kamala visited any of the southern borders? Maybe then I'll believe Biden's doing something about illegal crossing into U.S. Well, I go back to this. It's not just the southern border, though. Granted, right, there's people crossing the border.
No, he was trying to do something, and it got blocked by the judges at first, but then they finally passed it, where now they don't have to sit over there in Mexico being subjected to trafficking and raping and whatever, because they were being taken advantage of. So now at least they're processing them the way it should be, because everybody wants to come to America. You know, you can't discriminate and say
place.
It's just one type of person.
Well, we have to look at the fact that, well, you know, and it's interesting that you said that, Janet, is that where we have to remember that.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you're exactly right. There are Americans. I mean, America is full of pedophiles. You know, if you think back to some of the interviews by child movie stars, many of them talked about how Hollywood was full of pedophiles. One guy said they were like vultures; they were everywhere. So these people are out there. You know, you had the heiress to, I forget what liquor is it, the Seagrams. All of these folks got busted a few years ago for child sex trafficking. So the fact of the matter is, you know, they're not, they made this situation worse. Many of the flowing in of this country stopped because during the Trump administration, they made an aggressive attempt to stop all of illegal crossings, because of the impact that it has on us as Americans. The idea, I mean, and this stuff goes back to the days of Coretta Scott King back in the 80s. It goes back to the days of Barbara Jordan talking about the impact of immigration. Dr. Claude Anderson, I mean, he has warned us and warned us for years as melanated people in this country that this, and these are his words, this unending influx of immigrants coming in this country is going to bury black folk. And it's happening. They're favoring this. You know, you want to talk about disenfranchisement, voter disenfranchisement. What do you think is going to happen in places like New York, and what is happening in California to melanated people out there? Like I said, I don't have a problem with folks coming into the country if they want to come legally, but there is a process, and I think that they should go through that process. And to get back to the point about the programs for trade schools, I have always advocated that our young melanated people and spend some of that money that's in Ukraine, you know, setting up situations where young folks, because Michael, you and I are about the same age. I remember wood shop. I remember metal shop. I remember mechanical drawings and all of that. I don't even know if that stuff really even exists in our schools anymore.
No, they but took them out of the
probably. Yeah, see, and that's probably horrible. And if you think about it, the more melanated electricians and plumbers and carpenters and cement finishers, bricklayers, whatever the trade might be, the more that we have in our
community. But here's the problem. Here's the thing.
You think
here's
about
the thing
of,
that
gentrification.
But here's the thing that gets me, okay, and I appreciate the fact that you brought up the fact that, right, I'm 60 years old. When I was in school, right, you had all those classes that were teaching you a trade. So when you graduated, if you didn't want to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, you could have been, you know, all that, okay? Home economics class, I couldn't get that out, typing class. You probably saw one dude in typing. Guess what?
I took a typing
Here comes
class.
The computer. Yeah, but guess what? Here comes the computer. Guess what you have to know how to do? Type. But many of us didn't take typing.
But you know, a lot of people type with two fingers.
Home economics, okay, which was, you know, the class of cooking and this and the other. Guess what? There's thousands of cooking shows now and chefs everywhere with their own shows. These were things that were introduced to us back then. But we did not see any reason to study those classes. Spanish class.
I saw a reason. I beg to differ.
What I'm looking at is that when I was growing up, okay, I'm not saying you.
I'm older
Spanish
than
class,
you.
Well, I took those classes. Okay. Well, God bless you. I'm just saying that, in general, most people didn't. Many people didn't. There were people in the class, but most guys didn't take home economics. Most people, there were some folks who did take, you know, language classes. But we never imagined how much of an effect it would have. Janet, let me finish. But we never imagined how much it would be in effect today. We didn't. Many people didn't. And I'm just reflecting on the ones who didn't take those classes. I didn't. And I know many other folks who didn't take those classes, okay? That's the point I'm trying to say. But look at how much it affects us today. Where I work today, I interact with people who don't speak English. Guess what? Thank God for the cell phone, because now you can translate. They can type in whatever in their language, and then the phone will say, not spell out, it will actually speak what they're saying in English, right? Okay. That's what I'm saying. That's the type of society that we're in now. But the things that we're when you're talking about the issue of people crossing the border. This is America. People cross these borders, have been crossing the borders for centuries to come to this country.
Not like they are now.
That's one group of people.
Not like they are now.
Because the population everywhere has grown. The population is always going to grow. I agree with you.
What? Can I say something that needs to happen? A lot of those people go to the border because of the way the conditions of their in their country, where you got people, you got gangs killing and all this stuff, and people are trying to get away from it, and that's why they come
well, you
to
got
come
that
to
here. Right,
the
right.
border.
Right, yeah, you got that here.
So they
but in those countries,
well,
here,
to help
well, here,
the
well,
people's countries so that they don't have to flee from there.
But these are the
well,
same
here's the problem, though,
Jan.
You have to keep in mind. You have to keep in mind that the governments, of both countries, see the governments of those countries are governments that are corrupt.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
corrupt governments,
no doubt.
So you can't.
No
you get right. So which, here in the United States, you have a better chance of living under a semi-corrupt government, which we do have here, compared to a totally semi-corrupt.
Well, you know what? This is
what I'm saying. I'm just going to finish with this. When you compare the government of Mexico compared to the government of the United States, in my opinion, here it's semi-corrupt. Over there, it's fully corrupt. So go ahead, Janet.
Okay. This is what, because our democracy is hanging on a thread, if our country gets flipped to an autocracy, we Americans is going to probably be at the Canada border trying to get in, just like the Mexicans and the Spanish is trying to get in.
Right.
Here.
That's a very good point, because what our politicians have done, and this is both sides. You know, and I think this is part of the reason why they went so fiercely after Trump, because he and many of these politicians, they saw what was going on. And it's as I've said to many family members and friends, when we have as much disparity in our communities, in the inner cities across this country, ran by folks that, oh, man, you don't hear all that noise, do you? I know you probably
do. Yes, we do.
But, okay. I'm sorry about that. It was a motorcycle went down the road with a lot of loud music. But nonetheless, disparities that continue to affect us, you know, it's not like it's like they don't even care. Like Bowser just said to 42% of melanated children in D.C. because they didn't get a shot that they didn't want. Now they can't go to school, and neither do they have any kind of programs for them. So what happens to these children? Mm-hmm. This is part of the reason why the Republicans, Trump, and I think Bush was also a part of school choice for parents, because the children have a better opportunity to go to a better school where they can learn, where they can truly learn. These kids are being told that Bobby can become Betty, and Betty can become Bobby. And, you know, we don't even want, we got Biden talking about the teachers should have more authority over the parents. This is insanity, Mike. This is insanity.
Well, you know what?
This is crazy.
I won't say that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Janet.
No, I look at news 24/7. And I have not seen someone Biden say that the school should have authority over the children and not the parents.
I will.
Okay.
I know we're coming to the end of the program, but next week I'll have that.
I extended the show for another 30 minutes because I definitely want to put in this one last topic.
I'm gonna have to get off in a couple of minutes. But it's
not a problem. But I want to switch gears and go to this other topic. Since we're talking about schools and children and everything and the black community, I just want to switch gears real quick, you guys. Janet, you know what I'm going to bring up, I guess. But y'all recall about this crime that occurred in Brooklyn, I believe. Let me just pull up the story here.
It's at the end, Michael. Both of them are at the end.
I got it. I got it. Okay, here it is. Okay, so since we were talking about community, and really, I really have a lot of concern for the youth, because I mean, I see this, I see some shit every day, and I'm like, wow. You know, whatever happened to just respect among our young individuals? Where did we drop the ball? You know, and like you were saying, Victor, where you were talking about, you know, our communities and everything, what do we do as far as making our youth, our young folks, be more respectful, not to the whole, just to themselves? How can we ask for shit when we don't care about shit? You know, and I'm looking at this every day. I look at young black kids that just do some of the stupidest things. I'm like, really? Who is raising you? Who has taught you how to be so disrespectful? And here's the thing. You guys know about this story, maybe. August the 5th, and I want you to keep that date in mind as I read the story. August 5th, 2022, McDonald's worker shot over cold fries has died. The Brooklyn McDonald's worker who was shot in the neck and a spat over cold fries has died, cops announced. Matthew Webb, 23, succumbed to his injuries after he was shot Monday outside the Bedford Stuyfest fast food restaurant where he worked. Okay.
Wow.
The attack has been deemed a homicide, the force said early Friday, stressing that, quote, the investigation remains ongoing. Okay, so Michael Morgan, 20, has already been charged with attempted murder and criminal possession of a loaded firearm for blasting Webb in anger at his mom getting served cold fries. His mom got cold fries. Protecting mommy here. He is expected to face upgraded homicide charges, prosecutors told a court hearing Thursday, even before Webb's death was confirmed. All right, so cold fries. You have beef over fucking food? Cold food? And you kill somebody? See, that's the problem I had with our community. And here's the thing, Victor. Because, see, what I think about, remember whenever you would hear about a mass shooting, the first thing out of most black folks' mouth was he black? Remember that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was it a black person? We always concerned about, was he black? Or either we say, oh, I knew it was a white guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this is a young black dude killed a guy over cold food. Now, I can go on with that, but here's the irony of this whole story. This was in, as I said, in Brooklyn, New York. A young man died. Here's the irony. And let me let it pop up. Georgia murder suspect wanted by police calls 911 over cold McDonald's French fries.
And Kenneth
he gets arrested following the pursuit. And you know what?
Well, think about
Victor,
how they was tripping out over
there. Hold on, Vic. This happened on August
That's
the 5th. The same freaking day.
Wow.
There's a video. How ironic. You willing to kill somebody over cold food, and then in another state in the South, you call the police on yourself over cold French fries, McDonald's, knowing you are a suspect and wanted for murder. How stupid can you be? And it goes back to my question. What's going on with our young kids? What's going on with all of you? I'm not blaming the white man on this. The white man has nothing to do with it.
Well, Mike, think about the 73-year-old man at 3 o'clock in the morning was jumped by, was it 4 or 5 young black youth? They beat him with a cone. And he was melanated. And like you said, what has happened here? In large part, I think there's the entertainment industry has played a major role in this. You know, I hate to blame everything on – I'm not going to blame everything on because you was talking about rap music and all of that stuff. But there was a study that talked about how music, you know, affects the human psyche. So if you get love music, and all of that, but if you get the violent music that, like hard rock, they said that Charles Manson and his group, they would do drugs and listen to real hard rock, and then they go out and commit those kinds of acts.
Right.
You know, so it definitely is academia, because the idea of parental authority is being usurped, and they've been trying to do that for a very long time. Once again, the entertainment industry.
I think it's video
the media
games too.
Oh, absolutely.
The violent ones, because they kill a person and they get back on the game the next day and they kill that same thing again, and they think that's normal, but it's not, you know? It's not.
Yeah,
that's why all these
thing.
Mass killings have been happening.
But remember,
well, here's the thing.
Go ahead,
bro.
I'm going to say this real quick, and then I'm going to have to go. But sure. Dick Gregory had stated, and then I remember Prince had mentioned this to Tavis Smiley, you know, before Prince passed away, that the chemtrails, they would fly over the community and they would spray the community. And Dick Gregory said, next thing you know, everybody's fighting one another. You know, is that a conspiracy theory? Or is that just yesterday's conspiracy theory that's really today's conspiracy? I don't know. But like you said, Mike, I agree with you and Janet. There's something horrible going on with our young people, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But you all have a good night. Blessed night, blessed evening, blessed rest of the week coming up.
Yeah, and thanks for calling in. I enjoyed your...
Always my pleasure. Yeah. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
You know, next week, I'm hoping next week or the week after that I have a homeless sale. I was getting a text here. No, I'm here. I'm getting a text here. I was just trying to respond to it. Next week, hopefully, or the week after, I have a young man that's going to join us who was recently on the news about a couple of weeks ago of a raid that occurred at a house, and I'm not going to say his name. He's going to come on with an alias name, and I work with this young man, and he shared his story with me, and I felt like, you know, Janet, you know, we've done a show before years back where we allow the young individuals to speak of what their world's like, you know, and so this. Young man, he's been part of the criminal element, and he's and actually he called his mom, and I talked with his mom, and I said, hey, look, you know, just want, you know, give him the opportunity to share his experience for us to understand, you know. And now he has a job, and he shared with me and told me that, hey, you know, I'm doing this because I want to share it. And he said, because people don't understand how tough it is for him and the world he lives in. And he was just recently on the news of a raid. He happened to be at the location and everything. So I'm hoping to have him on next Saturday or the Saturday after that, because you know how we do, Janet. We like to hear the whole thing. We like to share and hear the sides of the stories of the individuals who are living that life, why, how they got into it, and what they're doing different. So I definitely want you guys to tune in when we do that particular broadcast. Hopefully, like I said, next Saturday, or depending on his schedule, or the Saturday after. I'm not going to give out his name, but I definitely will let you guys know. Bring It Boy is on the board still. Bring It Boy has a lot here. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Yes, I agree that money would be better spent for trade schools. That money would make it possible to offer at an affordable cost or even free. I could get on board with that. Right. And then Bring It Boy says trade school is education. Post high school in place of college. True. Right.
You know what?
One last thing I want to say that Bring It Boy posted. How is it our responsibility as to where someone is born and their circumstances, especially when we have millions of homeless and living in poverty? Well, Bring It Boy, I agree with you. But here's the thing. When you're talking about removing, or when Biden is talking about forgiveness and loans, that is addressing the circumstances, okay? That is helping out millions of individuals that are in heavy debt. It's a start. It's not the end of all end, but it's a start. And if it works, great. If it works, great. Maybe because if you look at it where these individuals were going to college and now they really can't do nothing because they're bogged down with trying to make money to pay back instead of moving forward and being successful in whatever, you know, career they want to be in. It might be a positive thing. We don't know yet. Everything is done by, you know, a test or testing things or trying things, which we did have a topic we were going to talk about, which is where NASA is sending another rocket to the moon after all these years. We'll probably have to discuss that next week. But Janet, you were about to chime in. Go ahead.
Well, this is about education. You know, like I said, sometimes people do have short-term memories, but for the 4 years of the Trump administration, Betsy the boss over education was so busy trying to privatize that it was taking away a lot of the funding and everything that was really needed for some of the schools, you know. And I just feel like when you have somebody that's in office that's for the people and not for corporations and the one percenters, the rich, but trying to help the people, that's a good thing. So who knows? Maybe we'll be able to get a lot more trade schools out there, because sometimes everybody's not fit, ready, can really go to college. If their grades, you have to have a certain GPA, you know? So you have to fall back on something else. Trade school is a good idea. I learned shorthand, typing, business machine, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. And like I said, I just saw a program today, and they talked to this guy, and he was saying of where companies are not demanding 4 years of education anymore. you know?
A lot of people have experience, Michael. I was a senior planner, and I should have had a master's degree, but I had experience, and I was able to do well, better than those who had a degree.
Janet, that's what I was just saying, is that what this individual is saying, that companies are now going by not book sense, but experience or knowledge of it. What can you do? It's not what you know. Can you do? There's a difference.
No and do, because you can be book smart, but that don't mean you're smart.
Well, I'm just going by what I just shared with you, is that this is what this alleged expert said, is that that's what corporations are looking for now. You know, we have to look at that. The pandemic has really changed the playing field of employment.
Yeah. A lot of people want to work
and
from home.
A lot of people are doing that. And here's another thing. I have to go back to what Bring It Boys said. It will continue to skyrocket because we are no longer energy independent. And then when we were talking about pay, said $15 an hour is why chump change. Well, Bring It Boy, for some folks, that's not chump change, because you think about it. Before the pandemic, it was half that amount. It was $7.50 for many companies. It was $10 an hour. Now companies are offering, you know, businesses are offering right around 15 bucks. You're right, and you're saying that's chump change. You know, people were upset when folks were saying, hey, look, you know, minimum wage needs to be $15 an hour. There are people who work in the construction industry who were making $15 an hour and say, well, hell, if a person could fry a burger for $15 an hour and I got to build a building for $15 an hour, that's not fair. That's not right.
Because at the time, they weren't getting the $15 an hour flipping burgers.
Well, that's my point, is that where before the pandemic, companies could have paid $15 an hour. In fact, they could pay $20 an hour. Many companies. I'm not talking about the mom-and-pop stores. I'm talking about major corporations. They can afford that. Again, I go back to record profits. There's companies out there that don't pay holiday pay. They don't pay, you know, there's some out there, major corporations, that do not pay for, you know, maternity leave. They still exist. It's not like they can't afford it. They choose not to. And one thing is that when you have people working that are happy, you have a happy crew. You have a better business. When you got people that are struggling, you don't have a happy employee. I know a young lady,
but Michael,
which I just
found out.
You also
have people who don't want to work but think they're supposed to get a good pay. You know, I feel
also,
when you.
I know that. I know that.
Get,
but for the things
worked,
that.
I've worked to get
I know,
the pay.
I know and I agree with you. There are some lazy-ass people out there. I work with some of them who are lazy as hell. Okay? But sometimes those folks, you know, it takes a minute for the company or management to realize, okay. Well, see, this is what they do. What they do is that they document it. So they have to be able to say, okay, we have to let you go based on this. We have documentation. It's just like a person who's an employee that steals from the store. They'll let you steal because they want to document it and get you to that point of where they can definitely prosecute you. They can definitely
have a lot of companies do temp.
On certain
times. And that's, they do temp because they don't have to document. They can just say, I don't want to document.
I'm just saying, no, Janet, my point is this.
There's a lot of companies
when
that
hire temp. When they do it in this way, this is where they're going to bring you down to the point that they got you. And when you do whatever jail time or whatever the case may be, that is going to follow you. That's going to be on your record forever. Not where they just fire you and say, just leave and just going to let you. No, they're going to destroy
anybody
you.
Anybody who still
Janet,
needs to go to
Janet,
jail.
Janet, look, I'm telling
they need
you.
To go to jail.
All I know
so, yeah,
for a fact.
Because, just like
okay,
when you're bad in school.
All I know.
Follow-
all I Janet, all I know is what I'm sharing. I'm not debating with you, so let's not debate because we're about to end the show. But I just know for a fact, and I'm just sharing with the listeners, that for the people out there that do what they do, that steal and everything, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't do it. You don't like your job, quit your job. Don't go steal from them. Was not yours. So with that being said, hey, you guys, thank you for joining us this Saturday. Appreciate our guest, Mr. Luca Brasi, our callers, Janet Davis, and also Victor. Thank you for calling in. I truly appreciate that. Hey, you've been listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll see you next Saturday here. And, of course, we're going to have fun. We're going to get on out of here for a little bit of Ramsey Lewis. God bless. Good night.